Huh? We live? Moving right along, this is the third segment of Kapitel Kuf Yud Tes, of Psalm 119. We're learning, well, let me rephrase that. This is the third segment of the letter Nun of Kapitel Kuf Yud Tes. Psalm 119, we are now going to examine the 107th verse of this extraordinary kapitel, chapter of Tehillim. David HaMelech says, Na'anesi ad mi'oid. I'm very subdued, exceedingly subdued. Hashem, O God, chayeni chidvarecha, bring me life, revive me as per your words. The first order of business is to understand the word na'anesi. Na'anesi is clearly a verb. The question is, what is the noun? It's a modified noun, right? There's a noun here, and David HaMelech says, I am something. So what is the something? And then we'll know what that verb means. So Rashi says, ne'esesi, which is the meaning, that's the verb element of na'anesi, ne'esesi, I have become oni v'shofol, I have become impoverished. I have been brought low. So the word shafal comes from the terminology of low, feeling low. And oni is a person who has no means. So I've been brought low. And Rashi says, to cross-reference this, we find it in the Chumash, the similar kind of word, kimoi la'anois miponoi. This is Moshe Rabbeinu speaking to Pharaoh, and this is in the 10th chapter of the book of Exodus. And Moshe Rabbeinu, after he's been called back to the Pharaoh yet again in the beginning of Parshas Boy, where we're up to the final three plagues, Moshe Rabbeinu says to the Pharaoh, the third verse, Ad mosei me'anto la'onois miponoi. For how much longer will you refuse to be humbled or subdued before me? Now it's interesting to see that Rashi kind of cross-references these because le'onois, onois is spelled with an ayin, the ayin is vowelized with a komatz, la'onois, but here it's na'anesi. But nonetheless, despite the fact that there seems to be somewhat of a difference, that difference is grammatical because of the tense that it's being used, but Rashi maintains it's the same noun. And he says that there is another example of this, and this is found in the book of Hosea. The prophet Hosea speaks to the people of Israel, specifically the northern tribes, who are filled with arrogance and pride, and he says, Va'ono go'in Yisrael befonov. The pride of Israel will be crushed. The honor, Metzudas Tzion says, Inyin hachno. This represents the notion of subduing, being brought low. Hashpola, brought low. Metzudas David says, Yichna go'in Yisrael b'fonav. Israel's pride will be crushed before it. It will no longer be able to have that kind of pride. This notion is, and they will see themselves, Hashpolas v'hachno'as go'in. They will see they're bringing low, the crushed spirit, the way their pride is destroyed. So Rashi clearly believes that this means humbled. That seems very clear. Rashi also alludes to the Targum of Yonasan ben Uzziel. The Targum, we don't have Unkelus in the book of Hosea, but in Targum Yonasan ben Uzziel, it says, Vayim'ach yikar Yisrael. And Rashi says, Vayim'ach is this idea of being brought low. Okay. So what's the issue? What's the problem? The problem is that David HaMelech opens with the statement na'anesi. That's my issue. My issue is na'anesi. So what's the solution? Here's the problem. Problem is na'anesi. What's the solution? The solution is chayeni. The solution is bring me life. But David never said he was dead. David didn't even say he was ill. He said, I was humbled. I was subdued. So it's not as if David HaMelech would say, I'm sick. I've been distraught to the point that I'm no longer able to function. So he says, bring me life. Revive my spirit. Make me vivify me. Make me live again. But here he says, Na'anesi. I've been very humbled. Okay, what's wrong with that? So you're humbled, and now you can get to work. This is an issue. This is a problem. And Rashi seems to be troubleshooting this. So Rashi introduces us to a fascinating statement which is made in the Gemara and is actually quoted in this week's Torah portion, Parshas Vayetze. And that is, namely, that the Gemara tells us, Ani choshuv kemes, that the person who is impoverished, who has nothing, is metaphorized as dead. And this is, we find this evoked, actually, in the level of Pshuta Shel Mikra, on a very literal level, when Yaakov Avinu is pursued by his nephew Eliphaz. And Eliphaz has been given strict orders by his father Esav. Esau says, kill Jacob. I'm done with him. I don't want to kill him myself. That would be bad news for me, for my father. But you can kill him for me. And Eliphaz pursues Yaakov Avinu, and he's ready to kill him. Now, of course, Yaakov could kill him back, maybe, or they would struggle and somebody would kill somebody. But Yaakov wants to avoid that kind of confrontation. He doesn't want to kill anybody, and he certainly doesn't want to be killed. So he says to Eliphaz, who had grown up in the home of Yitzchak, because Yitzchak still kept his kids at home. I mean, Esav is in his 60s and still living in his parents' house. So Eliphaz grew up in Yitzchak's home. He had a little bit of refinement. He was okay with murder, but still, you know, you could still reason with him. So Yaakov says to him, don't do this. You don't want to kill me. And Eliphaz says, well, but I gotta listen to pops. My dad gave me instructions. Murder, okay. But not listen to your father? It's like, you know, like a mafia kind of thing. There's certain codes of morality they have. So Yaakov says, I have a solution for you. Rob me. Take every penny I have. V'ani choshev kemes. And this seems to be an idea that even Eliphaz was somewhat familiar with. It's a basic axiomatic Torah teaching. So Eliphaz does exactly that. And then when Yaakov arrives in Haran, at his uncle's home, and he's penniless, he alludes, he says, well, this is what happened to me. And that's where we have an allusion to it in the actual scripture. My point is this. Rashi already invokes this notion of poverty and the opposite of life in his commentary on the book of Genesis. Already then, there's a notion of living or the opposite of life. So it's not strange then for David HaMelech, who of course was very well versed in the book of Genesis and certainly knew the commentaries of our sages, and although he wasn't learning Rashi, because Rashi wasn't around for a long time afterwards, but David HaMelech certainly knew the commentary of Rashi and the ideas of Rashi, and those ideas are ideas from our sages, so he understood that if Na'anesi, that if I'm very humbled, very subdued, but Rashi began his commentary not by saying ne'esesesi shuffle, but Rashi begins his commentary by saying ne'esesesi oni, I've been made poor, impoverished, emptied. So if I'm emptied, I'm poor, I'm humbled, well, in that case, I'm poor and I'm humbled, so now I have a lack of life. If I have a lack of life, the rest of the verse makes sense. Chayeni kidvarecha. And I must tell you that not all of the commentaries agree with Rashi, and probably for precisely this reason. The Metzudas David does agree with Rashi. He says, Ne'anesi is inyan hachno. It means being crushed, being brought low. And in the Metzudas David, he says that this idea of Ne'anesi means muchna ad me'oid. I was very subdued. My spirit was very low. L'chein chayeni kidvarecha. Therefore, bring me back to life. And Metzudas David doesn't see an issue over here. He says being brought very low could be like you know, dysfunction. And that's like depression. We would call sadness today, or depression. So he says, give me life. But Rashi is bothered by that. And therefore, Rashi reconciles the seeming incongruity of the verse that opens with Na'anesi, with being made humble, with being subdued, with the idea that an oni choshev kemes, and he opened this commentary with the concept of oni rather than the term shuffle. If you look in the Ibn Ezra says that this is about pain. Na'anesi comes from the term inui. He says, I have come into sorrows, I have come into pain. The word tsara, which the Ibn Ezra uses, is familiar with the notion of tsar, meaning being in a tight, squeezed place. David Bach said I was in pain. And because I suffered so much, a person could actually die of suffering, could die of pain. The pain is overwhelming. And that meaning of Chayeni Kidvarecha. And Radak seems to say the same thing. He says, Ne'enesi, Hinini be'inuyim kashim. I am in pain, or subdued, or crushed, with tremendous suffering. And in fact, Radak goes further and he says, the pain is so bad, it's ad ma'oid. It's very much, okay, how much pain is very much pain? When do you say that the pain is very much? So the Radak says, korev lamus, close to being dead. So close to being dead means that I'm almost dead. Because I'm almost dead, because I have this pain, now it makes sense. Of chayeni kidvarecha, give me life like your words. And Radak says, kaftachoscha, shehivtachtoni. You promised me. You promised me. That's one way of understanding it. Another way of understanding it, he says, God says in his Torah that a person does mitzvahs, asher yasa oisam ha'odam, a person does them, v'chai bahem. Mitzvahs bring us life. They bring us vitality. They bring us energy. They animate us. So Rashi says, Radak says, that's what David HaMelech continues to say. Va'ani shoymer mishpatei tzidkecha, because in verse 108, it says, nidves piretzein Hashem u'mishpatecha lamdeni, and he talks about him keeping these ideas. And we in the verse 106, which precedes it, it says, lishmer mishpatei tzidkecha. So David HaMelech emphasizes in the verse prior and the verse subsequent the notion of learning and keeping Hashem's words. Ah, that's v'chai bahem. That brings us life. So this idea of Na'anesi being humbled is actually not that simple at all. And I'm going to take a look and share with you some of the commentary on the book of Exodus. There we speak about the concept of La'anois Mipanoi, which Rashi cross-references. He says, and you look at Exodus 10, verse 3, there you see the concept of being humbled. So the commentaries tell us, Rashi there says, that you read it like the Targum, L'iskano. Iskano means to be made humble. Lias nichna. But the Mizrahi comments on Rashi that we have a terminology which seems very similar, and in fact, it is spelled with a patach, much like our verse, like Na'anesi. And that is, in the book of Genesis, is treated very, very harshly by Sarah Imenu because she became highly disrespectful. So the angel says to her, Hisani tachas yodea. You need to go back and submit yourself under her hand. You created these problems. You need to undo them now. So the term of the hisani could mean not humble, but rather submission. David HaMelech could have said, I'm made very submissive, but he doesn't really say that according to Rashi. Furthermore, in the book of Exodus, chapter 22, verse 22, it says, Imane tana oisai. And over there, it speaks about the prohibition of Ainoa, of harassing somebody or causing somebody mental or emotional pain because you're abusing them or exploiting them or taking advantage of them. And it uses the terminology of pain, which is not physical pain, which is emotional pain, which is a torture of the spirit. And that would seem to fit perfectly with what David HaMelech is talking about here. And that's also spelled with a patach. Ta'ane, im'ane ta'ane. And here it says na'anesi. But Rashi nonetheless insists that this is the terminology not of pain, but the terminology of impoverishment, being subdued because everything's been taken from him. And I think that Rashi really feels compelled to do this because the idea of oni choshev kemes, we talk about chayeni being brought life, and oni choshev kemes, pain and death are not synonymous, but impoverishment and death are synonymous. And therefore, from the syntax of chayeni, it seems, if we need to be given life, it seems that the na'anesi would be the concept of being brought low through the notion of being impoverished and have everything robbed from David HaMelech, and that's why he asks for life. Interestingly, the Meiri, in his commentary, he seems to side with Ibn Ezra and Radak. He says, Nichnati mitzora sa'ivim. I have been crushed because of the pain inflicted upon me. It's almost like kind of what Rashi says, but not really. He's talking about emotional and mental pain, which is more like the idea of anetana, the prohibition of Enoah, of harassing and exploiting, taking advantage of somebody. And he adds the words, korev lamus. It's almost like I'm ready to die. And we know that when people are exploited, abused, harassed, sometimes they want to die. And Echeyeni Kidvarecha, he maintains, is not the promise that Hashem made to David HaMelech, or it's not even the idea of finding life through your mitzvahs, but rather there's this notion that God is mechaye ruach shefolim, that God brings those who are very humble, those who are very crushed, that God brings them to life. And that this would be the notion of chayeni, that's the idea of life being brought to him. Now there is another interesting commentary in Rashi. And I have to tell you that It's not even clear if this actually comes from Rashi himself. According to some of the translations here, this comment only appears in the Bromberg and the Warsaw editions, which means in the earlier editions, earlier prints of Rashi. All right, I guess we're going to interrupt over here. You're going to call... Mashiach moment. Mm-hmm. 2 minutes? So let's continue this and you'll cut the thing up. Okay. So in those editions, it says Na'anesi, Rashi adds the words, which I don't see as fitting with the original commentary of Rashi. But whatever. In our print that's here, it says Choylihu. This refers to a kind of illness. Sounds like mental illness. And he says, "Shemitarif es hadas." We're talking about an illness which would deranges the mind. We're talking about a form of mental illness. And Rashi says, "Ushmoi." The name of this illness is found in the Mishnah in Chulin, and it's avis b'lashon haMishnah. Now, avis means convulsions, or a person having, I suppose, seizures. Now, this seems that David HaMelech refers to mental illness over here. This is pretty frightening stuff. And I have heard people say that David HaMelech may have suffered from mental illness. I don't know if you're even allowed to say that, but I've heard that from other rabbis. And maybe there's no shame in that. Maybe this is, you know, it is what it is. A person could have a broken leg. A person could have a heart condition. A person could suffer from depression. It's not something to be ashamed of. It is what it is. There are scholars who maintain, and the rest of the Chassidim don't like hearing this, and they get very angry. And they come at you, but I don't know that it's a thing of shame that Nachum Breslov suffered from a form of depression, and he actually battled depression, which would make him an extraordinarily valiant warrior to be able to overcome depression without pharmacology and without even a psychiatrist to help you, but to self-therapize. It would be extraordinary. You know, usually tzaddikim don't have the struggles of everyday people. They had the struggles, they overcame the Yetzirah, and now they've broken free of the atmosphere, they don't struggle. But suppose a tzaddik were to be struggling with depression. Well, then in that case, if a tzaddik struggled with depression, then he would actually have not a Yetzirah per se, because it's an illness, or it's a weakness, but nonetheless, he has the ability to overcome this, which should be tremendously edifying for people who suffer from depression. And it's not something to be ashamed of. Mental illness has a terrible taboo that has to be removed. And depression is a debilitating disease, and it ravages and destroys lives, and it causes the worst kind of consequences. If you take some of the manuscripts from the Rebbe's Rishimus at face value, the Rebbe Rashab clearly was battling with depression to the point that he even went to see Sigmund Freud to get advice as to how to deal with the depression that he suffered from. So it is possible for a tzaddik, it seems, to suffer from depression, and it would seem David HaMelech suffered from depression. Hello. Hi, Martin. How are you? Well, I would say that there was an enormous potential for goodness in Esau. I mean, your question is almost unfair. I mean, your question seems to indicate that Esau had to have something good in him, but in fact, he had to have had a tremendous potential for goodness. And I say that for two reasons. Number one, if Esau had been born wicked, why would you hold it against him? I mean, that's the way he was born. If that's how he's born, he couldn't have been any other way, firstly. And secondly, if Esau didn't have any redeeming qualities and there was no potential, then why in heaven was Isaac continuously trying to raise up this son and even willing to bless him? It's not as if Isaac didn't know that Jacob was a tzaddik. The Medrash tells us that Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob together for 15 years spent 15 hours a day studying Torah. And I'm pretty sure that Esau was not a part of that, because it doesn't say he was. So on a very early age, Esau was a wild man. And at 15, unfortunately, he committed his first homicide. And then he was kind of off the deep end. But he seems not to have participated in the spiritual pursuit of his father and grandfather. And yet, Yitzchak believed in him. He was ready to go for broke. But the answer clearly is that Esau had enormous potential. In fact, potential greater than Yaakov's. And that's why Isaac was ready to gamble that he'd be the one to found the nation of Israel. I mean, think of this. The people of Israel would have to literally rebound from the most horrific of situations. We would have to rise from the ashes, and we have risen time and again, including in the last century. And Yaakov is a nice kid. He's a sweet boy. But Isaac must have thought, he'll never be able to deal with those challenges. The enemies, the anti-Semites, they'll eat him alive. I need an Esau. I need somebody who is well-brawned, not only well-brained. I need somebody who's able to fight. I need somebody who's able to stand his ground. I need somebody who's got gumption, courage, and conviction. You know, that's an astute observation. I'm not going to comment on the politics in Israel, but certainly we need strong leadership today. Not only scholarly and pious leadership, but strong leadership. And the interesting thing is that when Isaac actually does give the blessings, which we read about in our previous Torah portion, when he does give the blessings to Jacob, and a moment later finds out he's been tricked, he expresses absolutely no anger whatsoever. Quite the contrary. He says, Gam Baruch Yeh, may he indeed be blessed. And that makes no sense. On the surface, here we have Isaac and Rebekah, who are battling for decades about who is the one. And then Rebekah wins. She sets the tone. She makes it happen. And Isaac just gives in. I mean, he had the courage and the strength to argue and fight with his wife for all these years, and suddenly he just gave in. But the answer is that Isaac never realized that Jacob was a tough guy too. Jacob didn't like to resort to other extreme measures, but when need would be, Yaakov knew how to be dealing with the toughest of the tough and the toughest of situations. He could use, shall we say, unorthodox methods to be able to do what was necessary. And that really is the point. When Yaakov is seen to have the courage and the guile to come in and snatch those blessings, which were really his, because Esau had sold them so many decades before. But Yaakov very, very politely doesn't want to bring pain to his father, so never says a word. But when need be, does what has to be done. At that point, Yitzchak finally realized what most Jewish men will realize at some point in their lives. My wife was right. Rivka was right. She had the right idea. I was wrong. Gam Baruch Yeh. May Jacob indeed go on to found that nation. And you know what, Martin? We are not only a nation of saints and scholars, we are not only a nation of pious and high-minded, generous and compassionate and spiritual and deeply religious people. We are also a nation of courage and strength. We have fought our enemies. We have vanquished our enemies. We have not only survived, we have triumphed. And we are in the midst of the throes of one of the most remarkable times in our nation, in our history, as we continue to battle valiantly to establish ourselves in the holy land of Eretz Yisrael. Our hope and our prayer is that Mashiach should come, and he will come very, very speedily and in our days, in the blink of an eye, in the blink of an eye, and restore peace and prosperity to all of humankind. For when there will reign peace in the holy land of Eretz Yisrael, its after effects will reverberate and be felt throughout the world. May that great day unfold in the blink of an eye, in our time, b'mheira ubi amenu, speedily, and in our days. Amen. Looking forward. Have a wonderful day. So we're talking about David HaMelech's, at least according to this commentary of Rashi, and like I said, there are many who maintain that this is actually not part of Rashi. The Parshan Dasa questions its authenticity because it doesn't seem connected to the word Na'anesi. It should be connected to the word Na'avesi. Na'avesi means kind of veer off the path, come twisted. which would be a form of description for depression, whereas nanesi just means humbled and emptied. But nonetheless, I have to tell you that it is printed in all versions of Rashi today, and it cannot simply be dismissed. Perhaps it is a secondary or codicil add-on commentary of Rashi. His primary commentary is that nanesi means oni v'shafol, and that's the only way we can best understand the term of chayeni. However, proverbially speaking, depression is a killer. And the fact that David HaMelech suffered with this form of mental illness, as Rashi says it clearly, choyli hu shebetara fesadas, it can literally cause a person to be deranged, lose their mind. And David HaMelech battles valiantly. And he cries out to God, Hashem chayeni, God give me life, chidvarecha. This could be a source, as I said, of tremendous inspiration. At any rate, this is the other way, the secondary way, which we see within the commentary of Rashi. And I want to share with you the comment on this verse that's attributed to the great Rabbeinu Yitzchak Chiyun, the Rebbe of the Abarbanel in Portugal, who maintained that the term here of na'anesi, this idea of being subdued or crushed, and then the subsequent request for life should be understood in a little bit of a unique and different fashion than we've explained up until now. This is what Rabbeinu Yitzchak Chiyun says. He says, David HaMelech feared he would not live out his years. To be sure, he did die at a very young age. He was only 70 years old. In those days, people lived for much, much longer. David HaMelech's father lived decades longer. So he felt that he would not live long. Shema le'yarech yamim. He would not live full days. And therefore, David HaMelech said, I have been so tortured, so pained. Nis'anesi. I have been pained be'inuyim v'yisurim. And as such, God, give me life. Ten lichayim. Because after all, I'm doing the mitzvahs, and the mitzvahs are supposed to add life. It's almost as if David HaMelech is like bargaining. He's kind of saying, my years haven't been joyous ones, so even if I was supposed to live less years, I didn't get enough living. I've had so much torture and pain in these years that give me added life, give me more life than perhaps I would have had otherwise due to the torturous nature of my short years. Anyway, that's how Rabbeinu Chiyun puts it. The Tehillas Hashem fascinatingly points out that this business is, like Rashi says, about shuffle. It doesn't talk about oni. I think Rashi does that because of the rest of the verse of Chayeni, but he says this is about humility. And the Tehillas Hashem says that in history, in Jewish history, there are three people who are known to have been extraordinarily humble. Our sages tell us the three people were Avram, Moshe Rabbeinu, and David HaMelech. So Avraham Avinu is the first. He says, "Anochi ofer ve'efer, I am but dust and ashes, I'm earth." Moshe Rabbeinu, about him it is written, "Onov mikol adam shal pnei adam," the humblest of people. And finally, David HaMelech says here in Psalm 119, "Na'anesi ad me'oid." And the Tehillas Hashem maintains that Moshe Rabbeinu was the most supremely humble, as the Torah itself gives testimony, "Onov mikol adam," more humble than any other person on the face of earth. There's a fascinating comment from the Alter Rebbe where he says, even more so, not only than every Jew on earth, but every human on earth. And Moshe Rabbeinu, the Alter Rebbe explains in one of his manuscripts, Moshe Rabbeinu said, had anybody been given my ability, Jew or Gentile, had they been given my soul, my ability, my opportunities, they could have done as well or better. So why be arrogant or prideful about my accomplishments? After all, anybody could have done this. Did Moshe Rabbeinu toil? He certainly did, but he had an enormous head start. So Moshe Rabbeinu remains the humblest of people, and he regarded each individual who he met as potentially greater than he. Now finally, that means Moshe Rabbeinu is even greater than Avram, but even greater than David. The Tehillas Hashem maintains that David HaMelech came second to Moshe alone. And that's why it doesn't just say Na'anesi, but that's the meaning of Ad Ma'od. Moshe Rabbeinu was Onov Ma'od, very, very humble. And here is Ad Ma'od, until Ma'od, just one notch below, Moshe Rabbeinu was the humility of David HaMelech. I find it interesting that all these three people are spoken of in terms of royalty. It says that Avraham Avinu was a melech, like a king amongst his time. seen as a nobleman, as a monarch of sorts. That's the esteem that he was held in. About Moshe Rabbeinu, clearly the Gemara says Melech Haya, that he was a king. And of course, David is the founder of Jewish monarchy, the eternal house of royalty. So here we have a situation that David HaMelech is very, very humble. Tetilas Hashem adds then that David HaMelech, in addition to his humility, reached a point of being totally heartbroken, broken in spirit. And this might be along the lines of what Rashi alludes to about, you know, deeply depressed. He says he was so depressed, he was so saddened, brought so low, that it was as if life itself was taken from him. And you may ask, where do we find a scriptural precedent for a lack of life when a person has a lack of spirit or lack of, you know, a good mood? So actually, the Tehillas Hashem says there is a scriptural precedent. In the book of Proverbs, in the 17th chapter, Shlomo HaMelech in his wisdom says, "V'ruach necheya, a low spirit, tiyabesh garim, causes one to become totally dried out." Come totally dried out. And the meaning of this, says Rabbeinu Yoina, is not only will he become emaciated, not only will he lose weight, not only become haggard, but it means even gam atzmois of tiyavesh, even his bones will dry up. I'm not sure what dry bones look like, but in a person. But the point is, everything becomes dried out. There is a removal of all life, all vivacity, of all energy. And therefore, it's worse than illness itself. You know, this is a killer. And again, I think anybody who knows anything about depression will have no difficulty understanding and relating to this. And Rashi says there's an interesting euphemism kind of about this. It's not literal, but if you go back in Tehillim to Psalm 104, the famous words of Baruch Nafshi, there in Psalm 104, chapter 29, it says, Yugvon, they will die, velafarim yeshuvin, they'll return to earth. And then the next verse says, Tishalach ruchacha, send forth your spirit, and yiboreon, and you'll bring them back to life. But the word yiboreon literally comes from the terminology of health. It means to be, you'll vivify them. Now, Rashi does say it's talking about tchias amesim, but here, at least euphemistically speaking, the Tehillas Hashem says, ruchacha and yiboreon, spirit and health, go hand in hand. And this is what David HaMelech therefore asks for. Na'anesi admeid, I became so dried. I became so drained. Chayeni, bring me life and revivify my existence so that I might be able to serve you. And really, if I think in summation, we could say that this chapter of Tehillim speaks to us about David HaMelech in the terminology. We find that about his great humility. We find that about his being feeling impoverished and crushed. It's anything but what one would think of. We think of this great grand monarch, the founder of the house of royalty. David HaMelech was an extremely humble person, a broken-hearted person. And he yearned for life. As we said, he may even have been a person who suffered terribly in terrible pain, physical pain, abuse from others, to the point that he may well have even suffered from depression. And he begs Hashem, Chayini Kedverecha, bring me life, life that is obtained through the performance of Torah and mitzvahs, life that's obtained through Yiddishkeit, life by virtue of David HaMelech's faith and conviction that as God had promised he would have life, that he would indeed have life, and finally, life by virtue of the fact that David HaMelech would ask for it, and Hashem promises that those who are low, Hashem will raise high. This should be an inspiration for all of us to be humble, not to be daunted when we find ourselves being exploited or abused or in pain. And last but not least, if a person finds himself in a state of depression, to learn from David HaMelech and to seek counsel, courage, and strength in his beautiful book of Tehillim, for these prophetic words can lift our spirits and indeed bring us life. I'm not suggesting that you shouldn't see a shrink if you have to. Pharmacology sometimes is the answer. A good therapist can probably help you, but faith and conviction in Hashem, in the end, is the greatest of forces that can elevate a person and help him to recover. The truth is that until the last few decades, people didn't really focus on the notion of health in the spirit, that it wasn't just the doctor going through the motions and doing what he had to do on a professional level, but that the patient had to participate in wellness. The Rebbe believed that calling a hospital Bet Cholim was actually debilitating. He maintained that in Hebrew, words and names, which are very important, that a hospital should be not be called Bet Cholim. Instead, a hospital should be called Bet of Refuah, a house of healing. Because a person here hears that he is in a house of sickness, well then, there's a subliminal message, you're sick. But if you hear you're in a house of healing, you're in a place where healing can come your way. And very interestingly, there's a very well-known cardiologist. He was the head of cardiology at Mount Sinai, a Harvard-educated, and I believe a professor at Harvard, a doctor named Dr. Tischholz. And he was one of the doctors in charge of the Rebbe's care after his heart attack in 1977. And he relates that many of the conversations he had with the Rebbe were about preventive medicine, and that the Rebbe told him that it's not only about the doctor doing his part, but that the patient has to do his part as well, believe that he can get better. And the Rebbe emphasized very, very strongly the importance of improving the spirit, the good feeling, the conviction that a patient might have that he could become well. I think all of this we can see reflected in this incredible pasuk of Kapitel Kuf Yotes. HaKadosh Baruch Hu should help us. We should all be healthy. We should all have the right attitude on life. We should all have the right spirit. And indeed, Chayeni, we should find life. The greatest, most vivifying force of life is Yiboreun, the life that's referred to in Psalm 104, Tchias HaMesim, the coming of Mashiach, and the transformation of everything we know today as ill or broken or crushed into a buoyant, healthy, and beautiful new world with the coming of Mashiach. B'mheira, ubi'ameinu, amen.